إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. قال جل وعلا في كلام المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. لقد من الله على المؤمنين إذ بعث فيهم رسولا منهم رسولا من أنفسهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة وإن كانوا من قبل لفي ضلال مبين. الله سبحانه وتعالى in Suratul Al Imran mentioned the coming of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this and said that this is a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهَ, that verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed the mu'mineen by sending from amongst themselves a messenger with a sequence of four things. And these four things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. And Allah said, verily, before that, all of them were not on guidance. My brothers and sisters and elders, I want to remind myself and you that these four things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned are not four independent separate things. These are four steps in the sequence of connecting with Allah jalla wa ala. The purpose of the Nabi, the purpose of the bi'sat of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the same purpose for which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent every Nabi that he sent. And that is to connect the people to Allah. To connect the people to Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught the method by which this is to be done. And that method consists of four steps. The reason I am beginning this course, the Leadership Excellence course in Kuwait, with the first Fajr reminder, with this ayah, is because inshallah, this course itself, we have tried to make this course a reflection of this ayah. That is why this course, the purpose of this course, even though we are going to be teaching you various kinds of tools and techniques of leadership and so on, if you ask me why this course, I will not tell you that this course is to make you great businessmen. I will not even tell you this course is to make you great leaders. I will say this course is for one reason only, and that is to connect you with Allah. To connect myself and you with Allah. Khalas. No other purpose. Now, once you and I are connected with Allah, what will happen? Many things will happen. Many things will happen. Including leadership, and including, for me, the most important thing, inshaAllah, is the acceptance of dua. Is the acceptance of dua. And inshallah, you will see that happening in your own lives. But that will be related and directly proportional to how much you invest of yourself in this course. This is not magic. It won't just happen because you registered your name. It will happen if you make the effort. This is the only course in the world which starts at 4 a.m. I don't think there's any course in the world which starts at 4 a.m. This course starts at 4 a.m. The Tahajjud which you prayed is part of the course. And it will go on till 10 in the night. Of course, you have breaks and so on. Why? For this reason. The sequence of learning. Four steps. What are the four steps? First one. Yatru alayhim ayatihi. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was ordered by Allah Jalla wa Ala, recite for them the kalam which you have received. Inform them, this is what we have been received. Recite the kalam for them. And this was the way of da'wah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If someone came to him and they said, what is this deen? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to recite Quran. He used to recite the Quran. This was his way. This was the way that he gave. He didn't argue with people. He didn't give them, you know, long bayans. And no, he just recited the kalam of Allah. He didn't even explain the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He first recited the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reason I'm saying is today, in the name of Dawah, we do everything except the method of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we think that is, how can that be the best? The best has to be the way of the Nabi. Yatlu alayhim ayatihi. And then, yuzakkihim, purify them. Internal purity and external purity. The purity of the heart, tazkiyatun nafs, and external purity, which is tarbiyatul akhlaq. External purity is not only the masail of tahara, wudu and ghusl and so on. It is purity of the tongue, how you speak. It is purity of the actions. It is the purity of your earning. It is the purity of your spending. It is the purity of your society, your family. All of this. Yuzakkihim. And then, وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابِ. The same thing which you recited, purify them, then explain that thing to them. Give them the ta'alimul kitab. Wal-hikmah. And what is hikmah? How to apply that. You heard something, you purified yourself, you heard the explanation of that thing, and then demonstrate that in practice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Aqimu salah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited the ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Aqimu salah. So we have been informed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, establish a salah. Then what do? You get up and make wudu. You understand what is khushu in salah. Internal purity, external purity. And then, you understand the masail of salah. What is salah? What is makes salah valid? What makes salah invalid? And what should be recited? And so on and so on. And then, sallu kama ra'aytumuni yusalli. Aw kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam. Demonstration of salah. What is salah? Pray like you see me pray. He did not say pray like I explained. No. My demonstration. Pray like you see me pray. As you have seen me pray. Demonstration of salah. Today, it's a great tragedy that we have separated ta'aleem from tarbiyah. And when we separated ta'aleem from tarbiyah, the noor left the ilm. So we are like walking libraries. As I said yesterday in my lecture, today, many of us, in terms of how much we know, quantum of knowledge, many of us know more than what the Sahaba knew. Many of us know more than what the Sahaba Ridwanullahi Alayhim Ajmain knew. For example, if Abu Bakr as-Siddiq came to one of our jamiat and he gave an application, I want to join the jamia in the basic class. And you gave him this questionnaire to fill, the admission test. And in the admission test, you said, please list the faraid and the sunan and the mustahabat of salah. What is fard in salah? What are the arkan of salah? What is mustahab? What is the sunnah? And so on, list. More than likely, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu will fail your test, because in his time, they did not have all these differentiations. What is mustahab and what is not mustahab, and what is makruh at-tahrimi and makruh tanzihi, and we didn't have all of this. It's Allah likes something we do, Allah does not like something we don't do. Khalas. So Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu will fail your test on these items of salah. But what was the salah of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu? Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu got tired of the persecution in Makkah. So he decided to leave Makkah and go away. And as he was going away, one of the leaders of the tribes through which their area he was passing through, he saw him, he asked him, where are you going? He said, I am leaving Makkah. He said, how can you leave Makkah? You are Abu Bakr. He said, yes, but you know, they make my life very difficult. I cannot live in that place. I am leaving. He said, no. This is not possible. How can we have Makkah without Abu Bakr? He said, I will give you protection. You come back to Makkah. So Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu came back with him. I am talking about the salah of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, who would fail your test in your jamia. So they came back. And Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu came back with this man, and this chief of this tribe, he came and brought him into the haram, and he announced and he said, this man is under my protection, nobody will bother him. So the leaders of Quraysh, they said, that's no problem, we accept your protection for him, but we have one condition. Listen carefully, see the condition that the Quraysh are putting on Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. What is the condition they put on him? They said, our condition is that he must pray inside his house. Ajib condition. They are not saying he should not give a talk, he should not do tabligh, he should not do da'wah, he should not invite anybody to Islam. No, they are not saying any of that. They are saying he should pray inside his house. What a strange condition. Why? How does it matter where I pray? I pray inside my house, I pray on the street, I pray somewhere. Why does it bother you, na? He said, no, he should pray inside his house. So they asked him, he said, what's this condition? This is a funny condition. Why should he pray inside his house? You know what they said? They said, he should pray inside his house because when our people see him praying, they become Muslim. That's it. When our people see him praying, they are only seeing, they are not doing, he is not talking, he is talking to his Rabb, he is not talking to them. They said, when our people, when our women, our children, our men, when they see him praying, they accept his religion. His salah is a threat for us. Ajib. Sallu kama ra'aytumun yusalli, that is the salah of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu. And at the end of this salah, what did his sheikh teach him to say? At the end of this salah of Abu Bakr Siddiq, what did his sheikh, what did he teach him, what should he do? He said, make dua and say, Rabbi, inni zalamtu nafsi zulman kathira, faghfir li. Fa innahu la yaghfiru dhunuba illa ant. Ajib. At the end of this salah, he is supposed to say, Rabbi, inni zalamtu nafsi zulman kathira, faghfir li. فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَغْفِرُ ذُنُوبَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ. Oh Allah, I have transgressed against myself. ظُلْمًا كَثِيرًا. Oh Allah, forgive me. At the end of this salah, what is being taught to us? That we pray and we read some Quran and we do some sadaqah and so on, and we say, MashaAllah, I am such a wonderful man. Oh, I do so many things. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. No. This is the tarbiyah. This is the tarbiyah. The tarbiyah is to do an action of good to the best of your ability and then ask forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, huwa samad. Allah does not need us. Allah does not need our ibadah. If the entire world and everyone it contains, from Adam alayhi salam to the end, if they all become deniers of Allah, it will not decrease the glory and majesty of my Rabb by one iota. And if all these people and all the jinn and ins from the day of creation to the day of judgment, if they all become Muslimin, and if they all go and have the level of Iman of the highest among them, it will not increase the glory and majesty of our Rabb by one iota. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from every need, including the need that He should be worshipped. He is free from this need also. He does not need our worship. We need to worship Allah. It's our need, not Allah's need. Our need. And this was the tarbiyah. Informing of knowledge. Look at it in the way of agriculture. What do you do if you have the best seed in the world? Somebody brings you this seed of date palm or something, right? Best seed. And says you plant this and it will give you great fruit. So what do? Just go out and dig a hole and put the seed? Never. If you know agriculture, you will never do that. You will never do that. What will you do? You will go and prepare the soil. You have the seed. Now what do? You prepare the soil. You check the soil. Is the soil good? What is the pH value of the soil? What is the acidity level of the soil? Should it be more alkaline? Should it be more acidic? What should happen to the soil? Does it have enough manure? Does it have enough organic material in the soil? Is it friable? Is it hard? Is it rocky? Is it stony? Is it thorny? You clean all of that. You check all the soil factors. Yes or no? And only then will you plant the seed. After you have prepared the soil. Because you know and I know that the best seed in the world, if it is planted into soil which is not suitable for it, it will either not germinate, or even if it germinates, it will die. It cannot grow in that soil. The soil is not suitable for it. You take the best seed in the world and you go and put it in the sand in the desert, it won't grow. It's soil, but it's not suitable soil. So you prepare the soil before you plant the seed. And then what do you do? What does the farmer do? Once he has planted the seed, what does he do? He waters that seed. Yes or no? What is that water? The water is the standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the tears of the eyes. The sign of hardness of the heart is the dryness of the eyes. One of the diseases of the heart, one of the illnesses of the heart, is the hardness of the heart. Heart is not soft. Heart is like stone. Worse than stone. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, Allah said, the stones, at least from the stones, come out springs of water. Stone breaks and the spring of water comes out. But may Allah protect us, our hearts are harder than stone. Nothing happens. Kalam of Allah can be recited, anything can happen, nothing happens to the heart. Nothing happens to the heart. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this a condition, He gave this as a diagnostic tool to say, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. What is the effect of the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the heart? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the mu'mineen are those people, verily the mu'mineen are those people, the believers are those, who when the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes before them, their hearts shiver with the fear and majesty of Allah. And that's the purpose of this course, for us to check our hearts and see what is happening in the heart. It's part of tarbiyah to do this. It's a tragedy that we have lost the way of teaching. I always ask this question, especially when I'm speaking in Jamiat and Madaris. I ask this question to the people. I ask them that when you are teaching, especially the Hifz class, Tahfidhul Quran, I ask that when the student is doing his dawr, when he is reciting for you what he has memorized, do you stop him at some point in time and say, you just recited this ayah, what did it do to your heart? Has it ever happened? Have you ever heard somebody, the ustad, stopping the student and said, you just recited something now, what did it do inside here? Did it do anything? We focus on the tajweed, we focus on the recitation, the tune, all of which is good, alhamdulillah, we should focus on it. But do you ever ask this question? You just recited, Ar-Rahman wa'allama al-Qur'an, khalaqa al-insan, 'allamahu al-bayan. What happened to you? Did anything happen to you? You just recited the introduction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah introduced Himself. Who is Ar-Rahman? Allama al-Qur'an, the one who taught the Qur'an. And you are teaching the Qur'an now to your student. Do you ask him this question? Does the student himself think, do when we are reading, you don't have to be a student in a class of Tahfidhul Qur'an, we are reading, alhamdulillah, we all read Qur'an every day, while we are reading. And most of us, and I strongly recommend this, make it into a ma'mool in your life that you read a certain part of the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every single day, no matter what. At least read one juz per day. And if you are not there, try to get there. It's not difficult. And Allah makes it easy. But while we are doing, I will just engage, I must finish my juz today because, you know, it's getting time for me to go somewhere else. Get through this thing. Or do we stop at some point and say, I just read this. What did it do inside here? Did anything happen to me? Maybe I should read it again. And again, and again, and again, until something happens here. My brothers and sisters, the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the closest that we will come to Allah in this life. We cannot see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The closest that we will come to Allah is through His kalam. Through the reading of His kalam, the listening to His kalam, reflecting on His kalam, trying to understand His kalam. And therefore, let us do that with seriousness. As I said, this course begins at 4 a.m. Alhamdulillah, most of you were in time. Some of you were early for tomorrow. I know very different reasons. I mean, some people came late and so on and so on in the night. But try to see, the point is you have taken a decision in your life. A lot of people here will look at you and say, you're crazy. You actually took 5 days off from your work and everything else to go to Kuwait. You're crazy. What? Why did you do that? So some people might look at you and think you're crazy. Why did you come all this way? But you know why you came. You know why you came. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent you because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants something good for you. And you came because you came with a good intention. You came to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now don't waste that time. Don't waste that time sleeping in your bed, no. Sleep early. It's a tough course. It's a very intensive course. Sleep early, don't go, don't sit around talking all night because then you can't wake up in time to come for Fajr. Sleep early and be here exactly in time to pray, start praying at 4. Meaning come back, come here maybe 5-10 minutes earlier. Pray your nawafil and so on. And we start this course at 4 a.m. with tahajjud. And tomorrow we will talk about why tahajjud and so on, inshallah. But don't waste your time. You came here with a purpose. Ensure that you get the maximum benefit out of this. It is our intention, myself and Sheikh Muhammad, to ensure that we do our best to give you the best that we can give. But the best can be there, but if you don't take it, you don't get it. So ensure that you invest in yourself. Just registering for the course is not enough. That's the first step. After that, ensure that you are there fully, physically present and also mentally present. Asking questions, checking things, clarifying doubts, agreeing, disagreeing and so on and so on. Ensure that you do all of these things. Very important. And then after tahajjud is over, the two rakat that we pray by jama'ah, after that, till now, till the time for fajr, is individual, personal reflection time. It is not socializing time. It's not time to simply sit around and chit-chat. It's not time to have coffee and tea. It's time to read Quran. It's time to sit in dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's time to sit silently and reflect in what is happening to you and me and where we are going. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you that this life will end. There is no doubt about this. This life will end. And we don't know when ours will end. We had the longest lifespan the day we were born. Longest lifespan, we had it on that day. And then the clock is ticking backwards. And then one day it will come to zero and that's it. We don't know when that is. We don't know which one of us will go first. And therefore, let us maximize the time that we are here. Maximize the benefit of that time. Ensure that we get the maximum benefit out of this time. When I designed this course, we said, why this course? And we said that we have this idea of the Standard Bearers Academy, and the purpose of this academy is to integrate Islamic knowledge with the knowledge of this world, with leading edge leadership technology, integrate that with the Quran and Sunnah. And then we said, all right, this conceptually, this is fine, it's clear in our minds at least. And when we talk and we make presentations and so on, we try to explain this to people. But we said that, can we do something which is a step higher than that? Something better than talking about it? Can we give people a taster for this thing and say, what does it feel like? As Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, لَيْسَ الْخَبَرُ كَالْمُعَيْنَ. He said, the information is not the same as experiencing it. So therefore, we said, how can we create a small example of what does it feel like to be in the Standard Bearers Academy? And that's how this course came into being. It's 5 days of intensive residential focus, integrating the knowledge of Islam with the knowledge of leading edge leadership tools and techniques. Alhamdulillah, I have the privilege of being on the faculty of teaching at some of the top leadership universities in the world. I am on the faculty, I am on the teaching staff of GE Corporate University, of Anderson Corporate University, of AMA International in the US, on the teaching faculty of the Apex Police Officers Training Academy in India, the Apex Civil Services Training Academy in India, and I teach at several business schools in India. So we said, well, can we take this and combine it with roots of it in the Quran and Sunnah? And that is how I even wrote the book, Leadership Lessons from the Life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this book is available free. Do read it. It was part, I think they have emailed this book to you. It's part of your pre-course reading material. I hope all of you have read it. You are supposed to have read it. If you haven't read it now, from today to Read it. Sit up all night and read it. Because we sent you the book for free. I mean, after you get it free, you still don't read it, what do we do? Huh? Read it. Because how else? I mean, we cannot learn unless we read. If you don't want to read, how will you learn? Why he stopped? Huh? It's not going to come to you. You have to read. And alhamdulillah, it's a amazing thing, the barakah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives in something. There are three books that got written for this course. One is the leadership lessons from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A second book is Leadership is a Personal Choice, which also was emailed to you. That's part of your reading curriculum as well. And the third is a compilation of ayat of the Quran and ahadith from Bukhari and Muslim, which is called Living Islam. And that is the book that Sheikh Muhammad will teach you throughout this course. So three books got written for this course. Allah alam, if there is any course like this which has books actually written for the course. Allah puts barakah in things. But we have to make the effort, inshallah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give the barakah in this. So I want to close by reminding myself and you of the sequence of learning. And that's the reason I began with that. I want to end with that. The sequence of learning is information, preparation, explanation, demonstration. Four things. يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. Information, preparation, explanation, demonstration. Four things in the sequence of learning. And if we follow the sequence, inshallah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring the noor of this ilm into our lives. And that is the purpose of learning. The purpose of learning is not collecting of information. This is a big tragedy that has happened with us. We teach in order to pass on information. And students learn in order to get information. You don't need a teacher for information. You can read a book. But you will never learn anything by that method. For application, unless we apply. And I always give the example of flying. You can read all the books on aerodynamics. You can read all the books in the world on flight, on the principles of flight. You can read all the books in the world on how a plane is constructed. But until you sit in the seat of the pilot and the engine starts, and I have actually flown, that's what I'm telling you, I am speaking from experience. In a small plane, you get the experience much more. And when I was flying with my instructor in a Cessna, and he said, pull back the joystick, which puts down the rudders, puts down the ailerons, and the plane lifts, you get a feeling in the pit of your stomach. It pulls you like this. And I always say, that is when you learn aerodynamics. That is when you learn, you understand the meaning of flight. Not when you were reading the book. Not when you were reading the book. When the pilot is with you, the instructor pilot is sitting next to you, and you are in the seat, and he says, my hands are off, now pull that joystick. When you pull in the joystick is when you understand what it means to fly. And that is what I'm talking about as far as this course is concerned. There will be many things that you hear in this course that will not be rocket science. Nobody here is receiving wahi, so nobody is going to tell you something you've never heard before. Alhamdulillah, most of us, we read Quran every day and so on. So, if I recite an ayat for you or Sheikh Muhammad recites some ayat for you, it's not news. We know this. We have heard this a million times. The question is it down here? Is it in my heart? Knowing has a very different meaning. Knowing is not just having information. Knowing is knowing in the pit of your belly. Deep down inside us. And that is what, inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us with that knowledge. Knowledge which will result in action. Knowledge which will result in changing our lives. so that when we go away from here, we will be different from when we came here. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for barakah in this. We ask Allah to accept this from us. We ask Allah to forgive our mistakes. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cover us with His mercy. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with us. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.